I want to share with you for just a few minutes from this thought. The question, feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling overwhelmed this morning? That's a great question for our times. I really believe that. In recent months, as I've talked to people in the church family and outside of our church family and different places that we go, overwhelmed it seems to be the word that most people have used to describe how they're feeling right now. Obviously, the COVID crisis has been the main engine driving that bus of how we feel, the main contributor to those feelings. But other events have taken place as well during the crisis that, for some people, maybe events in your life have just been like the icing on the cake, you know? And I know as I look out at different ones in the congregation, we've all been through something, not just COVID, but and not just the effects that it's had upon our lifestyles and lifestyle changes and whatever, masking and not masking and vaccines and not vaccines and all the different stuff that seems like has tried to divide us and divide our country. But all those things, besides that, there's been things that have happened in people's lives, sickness beside COVID or a relationship issue or a financial issue or whatever it is that maybe you or your family have had to go through. Those things have just been icing on the cake and sent us over the top, maybe emotionally. So as we talk about being overwhelmed this morning, when you're feeling those things, to be overwhelmed, it makes you feel like you've been maybe covered over by something, like you're maybe even like smothering, you know? It makes you feel like you're buried beneath this load of whatever it is that you're dealing with. You might also feel like this is just crushing to me. I feel helpless. I feel hopeless. I feel just overcome with some other feeling, maybe grief or hurt or pain or whatever you might be feeling. And so I wanted to take a look at Scripture this morning to see of folks in Scripture that have felt those same feelings, and maybe we can learn some lessons this morning from Scripture about how we can overcome these feelings of being overwhelmed by life, by the circumstances of life, and just by the junk that we hear constantly around us from different forms of media, politicians, whoever, whatever. You know, everybody's got an opinion. So I want us to start this morning. Let's go to the book of Job this morning. Let's do that. And we're going to look at chapter 30, just one verse there, chapter 30, verse 15. And it says this, Job says, "Terrors overwhelm me. My dignity is driven away as by the wind." It's like this wind has come and it's just blown through the planet in the last year and a half, you know? And it's stolen some people's dignity. It's sent terror that has overwhelmed people. I think that's really the enemy's plan, was to instill fear. We've talked about that a lot in the past 18 months, that the enemy has done that as a tool to just overwhelm us with fear. Because fear has torment, the word says. But the Bible says that perfect love, the perfect love of God, will cast out all of that fear. But he says, "Terrors overwhelm me. My dignity is driven away as by the wind, and my safety vanishes like a cloud." So many people are feeling unsafe in the world today. You know, if you're teaching school like Pam, you know, last year she caught COVID from a student, a second grader, and there's that fear of in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in a restaurant, like where me and Kathy caught it from our favorite waitress, you know, last year. You know, wherever you maybe have been exposed to COVID, and some have caught it, some have not, but you feel like your safety has been stolen from you, you know? Well, there's a safe place that we can all go to, and his name is Jesus, amen? And we're going to look at Scripture this morning that will take us to that safe place, and we can have that 24/7, that safe place in Jesus, regardless of our circumstances. Daniel adds this in chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, and the prophet Daniel says, "I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision." We're going to be bouncing around a little bit this morning, But we're going to get back in each place the theme of the feeling of being overwhelmed. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it. But such terror, there's that word again. Job used the word terrors. Daniel uses the word terror. Such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and they hid themselves. That word terror is a stronger word even than fear. It's not just a natural fear or even an unnatural fear. It is just something even above and beyond. It's just being terrified, overwhelmed by what they heard, and they fled and they hid themselves. We're going to talk about that in just a minute from one of the Psalms, what David had to say about that. Verse 8 says, "So I was left alone," Daniel says. "I was gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left." Ever feel that way in the past 18 months? I have nothing left to give, you know? Moms especially, I would assume, feel this more probably than the guys, because moms work a lot harder than guys do, I think, you know, most of the time. And so anyway, you have no strength left. And he says, "My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless." That word helpless is one of the words that we use to describe being overwhelmed. It's a feeling of just being helpless. God doesn't want us to feel that way because He is our help. I will look not to the hills, but I'm looking to the Lord. That's where my help comes from. I want us to turn this morning to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, and we're going to begin with verse number 1. This is a psalm of David, and David writes this. It's a prayer. He says, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me." We could all pray that same verse, right, to God for ourselves. Then he says, "My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger." There's so much anger in the world today. You feel it. You sense it. People's their trigger towards anger is just so quick to anger, you know? The Bible says be slow to anger, slow to speak out. But this says, "My thoughts are troubling me, and I'm distraught about some things." You know, the voice of the enemy. And the enemy's voice is always there. But we need to understand that the voice of the enemy is always a lie. The devil is not only a liar, but he's the father of lies, Scripture tells us. And so we don't want to listen to the voice of the enemy. And it says, it's brought suffering down upon me, and they've reviled me in their anger. Then verse 4, "My heart, my mind is in anguish within me." We talked a lot about the mind earlier this year, that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we might know what the will of God is. David says, "My heart, my mind is in anguish within me." Another place he writes, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts bring delight to my soul." I love that verse. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts, God's comforts, bring delight to my soul. Then he says, "The terrors," there's that terror word again, "the terrors of death assail me." Job, Daniel, David all use that same word in expressing feelings of being overwhelmed by certain circumstances in their lives. The terrors of death assail me, that fear of death. But thank God, Jesus has taken away the fear of death for those of us that know Him as Savior. Death has been defeated. Oh, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fear and trembling, he says, have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. Wow, again, that fear, that really ramped up fear, another word, horror, along with terror, being super afraid, and it's overwhelming, David said. Verse 6, I love this. Here's what David says. "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away, and I would be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert." David spent a lot of time in the desert. David was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel, but it took 15 years, 15 long years before he became king in place of Saul. And he stayed a lot in the desert. And then he says in verse 8, I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and the storm. David stayed in a place called En Gedi. Today in Israel, it's a luxury resort. En Gedi is a beautiful place to go to. People spend tons of money to go and vacation at the resort at En Gedi. But in David's time, it was still a pretty place, but it was in the midst of a desert, believe it or not. He said, I would hurry to that place. That's a place of shelter for me. It's far from the tempest and the storm. But he said, oh, if I just had the wings of a dove, I could fly away. David didn't have Delta or Southwest or any of that stuff to get away. But he said, oh, I wish I would be like a dove. I'd do it, man. I'd flee far away, and I'd hurry to that place of shelter for me. Skip down to verse 16, that same chapter. But David says this, but I can't fly away like a dove, but I'll do this. I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Daniel, the prophet, was one that prayed three times a day, just like this, morning, noon, and evening. Daniel did it in spite of the threat that he would be thrown in a lion's den if he continued to pray to God. I cry out in distress, David said, and he hears my voice. And look at verse 18. He, God, ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me. I don't know what you're going through this morning. You don't know what I'm going through this morning. But God knows what all of us are going through. Amen? God sees. God knows. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of our Lord. And so God will ransom us as well, unharmed from whatever battle that is being waged against you this morning, no matter what it is. God is with you. God is for you. God is in you. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And the caveat, I'll never stop loving you. I will never stop loving you, and I'm never going to leave you. Let's go back a few chapters to Psalm 18. Let's do that, Psalm 18. And we're going to pick up at verse number 1 there, Psalm 18, verse 1. This is a song, actually, that David sang to the Lord. And it's when he was delivered from the hand of all of his enemies and also from the hand of Saul. And he said this, verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. From a teenage boy, about the age of 16, it's believed, when he killed Goliath, the Lord has been David's deliverer. And even before that, shepherding his father's sheep, God delivered David from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. Then he says, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Who do you take refuge in? Where do you run? Where do you want to fly to when things are overwhelming in your life? When circumstances stress you out, when you get just fried with mentally and emotionally, and you know you really are having trouble thinking or you're having trouble sleeping, what's keeping you up at night? He says, my refuge is my God. My God is my rock, and that's where I take refuge. He, God, is my shield, and he's the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. Remember, he talked about the horrors of death overwhelmed him before in chapter 55. Now he says, the cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction. Wow. Torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. So many different circumstances going on in David's life at one time that he was overwhelmed by these torrents of destruction. And then the cords of the grave, once again, talking about death, the cords of the grave coiled around me. It's almost like he's thinking, envisioning a snake coiling around him and it's about to suffocate him or whatever. And then he says, the snares of death confronted me. So David's in a place where he really doesn't know if he's going to survive or not. He's really concerned all the different enemies that have come against him. And so he says in verse 6, in my distress, underline that little word in my distress, I call to the Lord. Again, whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, whatever you will go through in the coming days, weeks, or months, if the Lord tarries, in your distress, call to the Lord. Call unto me, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know nothing about. And then he goes on. He says, I cry to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. I want you to know that no matter what you're going through, when you call out to God, he hears. He hears. He listens. His ears are not too dull to hear your voice. He hears your voice. He hears your cry. He knows exactly where you are and what you need. Once again, let's skip down to verse 16 of that same chapter, chapter 18. And David writes this. This was the answer to his prayer. He reached down from on high, and he took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Remember, just a few Sundays ago, we talked about how that we are the Lord's delight, and the Lord is the delight of our lives as well. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Those are some great verses to just kind of quote and maybe just bring to memory, to memorize. Verses 16 through 19 right there, just some great, great answer to David's prayer. And then there's two Psalms, Psalm chapter 14 and also Psalm 53, both penned by David as well, but they're so very, very similar, very similar. But I want to share mostly next from Psalm chapter 14. So let's go there, Psalm chapter 14, and then we're just going to do one verse of chapter 53 that I like the translation in 53 a little bit better than the one in 14. Remember, David wrote both of them. He just switched it up a little bit in chapter 53. So let's go to chapter 14 first. Chapter 14, verse 1 of Psalms. The fool says in his heart, in his mind, there is no God. Now, all the words that are written in Hebrew, the Hebrew words that are translated fool in the book of Psalms, they denote someone who's morally deficient. Somebody that's morally deficient. If you commit moral sins, sexual sins, he says you're a fool. You're deficient. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." The fool are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand. Are there any who are seeking God? All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one. And so he asked the question, will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord? We live in a generation of people on this planet. A lot of folks that are those that don't know the Lord, obviously, we're talking about here, the evildoers, those that are morally deficient as well that he's talking about here, that he calls a fool. He says, will they never learn? Will they never stop doing these things? These people who don't even call on the Lord, what is their problem? Why would they not turn to the Lord? Verse 5, it says, there they are, overwhelmed with dread. For God is present in the company of the righteous. But look at in chapter 53, that same verse, verse 5, chapter 53, verse 5 reads like this. It says, there they were, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to dread. That's amazing. There they were, filled with dread, filled with fear, when really there was nothing to fear. There was nothing to be afraid of. So many times, the things that we dread are just the what-ifs of our minds, of our imaginations. Amen? The devil puts those what-ifs into our minds. And it's up to us, do we stick with that train of thought? Do we go down that road of all the what-ifs until we get to the end of those what-ifs? Or do we cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against our knowledge of God and bring into captivity those thoughts to the obedience of Christ? What do we do? It's a choice that we make to control our thinking, be transformed by the renewing of our minds, change our thinking from negative to positive. Now, I'm not talking about just overcoming stuff by the power of positive thinking. No, positive thinking is a good thing, but that's not going to get you out of all crisis in your life. The Lord is the rock. The Lord is the one that hears and answers prayer. He's the answer to our needs and to our problems. It's all about Him. So let's don't do what these people were doing. They were overwhelmed with dread when there was nothing for them to dread. And you know what? There's nothing really for you and I to dread either, because the Lord is on my side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? He that spared not his only Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God is a giver. He's not a withholder. God wants to bless. God wants to minister to our needs. And as we call upon him in faith and trust, God will come through in his way and in his time according to his will and plan for our lives. We just have to hang in there. Just be faithful. And he says, to the faithful, I'll show myself to be faithful. Amen? God will be faithful to you and to me as well. But you know what? Bottom line is, even Jesus was overwhelmed. That almost sounds sacrilegious, doesn't it? But I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to pick up at verse number 36. Matthew 26, verse number 36. And it says this, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. That would obviously be James and John, the sons of thunder. And he began to be sorrowful. Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is what? Overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. David alluded to death in two different psalms that we just read. And in one of the Psalms, chapter 14, he mentioned death about four times in the matter of just a few verses. And Jesus says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. We know another one of the Gospels says that his sweat even became as drops of blood. He was so intense in praying to his Father. And he said, I'm overwhelmed with this. Stay here and keep watch with me. Well, I don't think any of us have ever been overwhelmed to that degree, obviously, where our sweat became drops of blood. But I want us to go back to the book of Psalm, and let's go to chapter 65. Almost done this morning. Psalm 65. And I love this portion as well. Psalm 65 and verse number 1 says this, praise awaits you, O God in Zion. Or praise is befitting. Praise befits you. It's part of you. And he says, to you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. Look at this, verse 3. When we were overwhelmed by sins, can you remember before you came to know Christ? When you just, you know, you were living a life or a lifestyle of sin. Remember where God found you when you got saved, you know? And maybe there were things in your life that you're so ashamed of now. But he says, when we were overwhelmed by our sins, you forgave our transgressions. Another translation, you made atonement for our transgressions. He not only forgave them, but he made it an atonement for them. And that atonement was the precious blood of Jesus that was spilled on the cross that we honored last week as we partook of communion together. Blessed are those that you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth. Where's your hope this morning? Who are you placing your hope in? The hope for your future. You know, the word says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for calamity or disaster, but rather to give you a future and a hope. God wants us to have hope. You know, we can live so many days without water, so many days without food, but we can't last more than a few moments, feels like, without hope. You got to have hope that something, tomorrow's going to be a better day. This afternoon is going to be a better day for us. Tonight will be even better. We've got to have that hope within us that this is not all there is, that we're not stuck where we may find ourselves, whatever we're going through. God wants to make a way where there seems to be no way. Now, I want us to backtrack to Psalm 61, and we're going to close with this morning. Psalm 61, and David writes this. Again, he's praying. He says, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart, as my mind grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. David said in that earlier psalm, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I could fly away. But in this psalm, he says, you know what? I don't need to fly anywhere. All I need to do is find shelter under your wings. That's where we need to run. That's where we need to run. The Lord is our shelter. The Lord is our strength. He said, you've been my refuge and a strong tower, and I long to dwell in your tent, in your house. In David's day, there was no temple. It hadn't been built yet. It was a tent that the ark was kept in. David said, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings.